An Appeal for the Work in the South. Battle Creek, Michigan, April 21, 1901. While in Battle Creek, there were many things open before me that should be done in the southern field. This long-neglected field must have attention. Notwithstanding the neglect of this field, which has been specified again and again, yet very little has been done to redeem the past. God has provided the workers, and we hope that now there will be a decided awakening to remove the reproach upon those who have taken up the work which God has so decidedly laid before them to do. There will be need of establishing schools and sanitariums in suitable places that these workers may begin to work and waste no time. There should be a well-equipped printing plant, for there will be a necessity of having the books prepared in the very field where they are to do their work, and the same work will be suitable for the beginners in other fields that shall be and should be opened. We have had opened before us that this work is essential, the printing of suitable books to meet the necessities of the case, and something must be done in this line without delay. There should be a proper publishing house for the benefit of the southern field. The works that are prepared are to be furnished with illustrations, inexpensive, and yet good to tell their story in symbols. We visited Vicksburg, and we see that a good object lesson has been given in the buildings that have been erected. They are not expensive. Economy has been practiced in every line of work, and yet the buildings are neat, tasteful, and commendable in every way. This gem of a house of worship was dedicated the Sabbath we were in Vicksburg. There has been given elsewhere a short history of this journey. At Nashville, I was surprised to see a printing press and the workers busy upon it. I saw countenances that expressed intellect, ability, and qualifications for the work. I could see that everything purchased in the printing press, everything in the building it occupied, was with as little cost as possible, and the neatness, the order, and the work being done were an object lesson. But there must be a building for a larger press, for business is to be carried forward in many lines that will open up as they enter upon the work. There is more, much more, that can be done in the South with proper literature of an order appropriate for the southern field. The Lord has means in the hands of His people that He has given them to be used in just such work as needs to be established in the southern field. Literature, accommodated to the people, with illustrations, will be the most effective means of keeping the truth before their minds. A sermon may be given, but soon passes from the mind, and the truth, as it is in Jesus, will need simple, plain statements adapted for the southern people. We want now to call upon our people to provide a printing establishment. God has placed us in a world which He Himself has described as full of His goodness. The abundance of blessings God has provided is without number. Sin has prevailed and has marred and scarred the earth with its curse. But still, the Lord in His mercy is working out His divine plans to fill the whole earth with His glory. His bounties are inexhaustible. I appeal to those who know the truth to do a work for the southern field. This now is my burden. I am instructed to call upon those who have means to let it now go to the southern field, that the work shall not be hindered. Nashville is the point now to be made a center. Then from it, the influence will extend to establish the work as God may prepare the way. Will you who labor in the interest of the cause of God in a judicious way lay the necessities before wealthy men who have means God has lent them? Ask them to help. Tell them what you are trying to do, and then solicit donations. It is God's means that they have, which, properly used, will enlighten the world. Large treasures of gold and silver and riches have accumulated. Why not call attention to the true owner of all these goods, and so present the matter to human agencies with your own heart surcharged with the true sense of his great condescension and benevolence, that a chord will be touched in the hearts of those who have means. Lead the wealthy to feel that they can be the helping hand of Jesus Christ in doing medical missionary work. They will cooperate with God and set in operation the work that is essential. They will construct the conveniences that will do the very work God would have done. To be selfish with means now would give Satan the greatest victory and triumph he could obtain. Covetousness is idolatry. Should not every heart expand with generous emotions to return to the Lord his own entrusted gifts, to do the very work essential to restore the moral image of God in man? Will our own brethren awaken now to full consciousness to give liberally that the work shall be established so as to become self-sustaining?
This world is established and provided for by the charities of the benevolent giver. God is the donor, and he asks for the return of some of the abundant donations he has made to advance his kingdom in our world. Consider the care he gives to the earth in the rain in its season, and the blessed sunshine to warm the earth and cause vegetation to flourish. The great husbandman is constantly working to give life-giving properties to the seeds and to cultivate and give life to everything he has created. He sheds these blessings upon the just and upon the unjust. Shall not those who are the recipients of his favors now work, now impart, now show gratitude to God in helping fallen humanity? Will you not be like him? Will you not become the Lord's helping hand? Consider the matter, I beseech you, those who claim to be sons and daughters of God, those who are members of the royal family, to demonstrate to the world what the influence of the truth can do upon the human heart to expel selfishness. You may well feel it your privilege to be laborers together with God, to trade upon his goods by setting in exercise all the means possible to carry out God's purpose in our world. Can you live day after day receiving his tokens of love and goodness and compassion, and occupy your mind with your own selfish getting all the profits possible in various ways, while the cause of your God is languishing? There must be provision made to carry forward to ample completion the work to uplift, to educate, to subdue and sanctify the human beings he has created and redeemed. The Lord Jesus Christ calls upon me to set these things before the believers and unbelievers, to be merciful even as your Father which is in heaven is merciful. Only think of the gift, the great gift to our world to save sinners, and the gifts of God's bounties to provide for you the means to do this. Your sinful condition demanded a sacrifice. In your spiritual destitution, you had not one thing of your own to offer. Your own self did not belong to you as your own property, for you were bought with a price. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Do you behold the substitute which, by mutual consent of the Father and the Son, his great love has provided? Herein is love. His beneficence outweighs all consideration of computation. We have no line whereby we may measure, no standard with which to compare it, that God so loved the world that he sent his only loved Son as a propitiation for our sins. What more can I say? What shall we do for those for whom such a love is expressed, and who will refuse to give that love which Christ invites,
He wants you to be converted. He wants the streams of gratitude to flow forth in tithes and offerings, and set in operation human efficiencies to be God's helping hand to bear His blessings to needy, perishing souls. He who gave His Son to save you from eternal death asks you, for His sake, to give your worldly substance, which God has first given you. For the very purpose of testing you, He asks you to give wise, compassionate labor and your Lord's entrusted goods. He asks of you His own, and who will refuse? God has given His Son to die for fallen man. That is God's offering to bring man back to his allegiance to God. You may become His helping hand. It is His own money that you are permitted to handle, to test your allegiance to Jesus Christ by cooperating with Him to use His entrusted gifts to save a perishing world. Consider that you are using talents of means that are not your own. All are to be returned to God with improvement. Make all of yourself possible, because then you have more capabilities to return doubled to the Master, and to receive again to impart. Through Christ you have found God, and the eternal interest stands in its grace magnified before you. Call up in your mind every day what God is. Tell His perfections over and over. Tell of the displays of His glory. With all these things in view, consider that these are the gifts of God to man. This God is my God forever and forever. As heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, you are to be partakers of the eternal riches of the heavenly treasures, to come into possession of the eternal weight of glory.